Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Speaking of sports, you know how I feel about stadium funding?
Yeah.
Like when the state gives money to billionaires so they can build yes. their stadiums?
Yes. Your thought process is, why should I, a regular guy, just trying to make ends meet,
that's right,
pay for a stadium for a guy who's worth $10 billion?
Exactly right.
Yep.
I don't want to do it. I don't think we should have to do it. I think billionaires should fund their own stadiums. They should figure out a way to do it privately.
Mm-hmm. It's like if I bought a boat and then I made you pay for the dock.
Yeah, kind of. And they say you can use the boat. You got to pay me every time you come to the boat, but you got to use it still.
And you have to build the dock and the house.
So Governor Mike Kehoe had a plan to cover part of the cost, about half of it actually, with a new stadium for the Kansas City Royals and the Kansas City Chiefs. And this is all being done because there was an effort, or at least this threat, that the Chiefs and Royals might move across the state into Kansas. But of course, if they stay here and there is public funding that goes to those stadiums, people in St. Louis are on the hook for that too. Now, you know how I feel about sports. I love that the Chiefs and the Royals are in town or in the state. I love that they are here. I want them to stay here. But by and large, if you go back and look throughout the history of stadium deals that cities and states have given money to, you know, the teams to build or fund their new stadium projects, it usually doesn't turn out well for the cities. It isn't the financial boom that they would expect, right? And I don't want them to leave town. Like, let's say locally, the Cardinals threatened to go to Kentucky. Okay?
Okay.
And we were scrambling to figure out a way to keep them here. I'm not naive. I know that we'd have to give them a little bit of something because that's just the way it works. But I'm not really in favor of taxpayers funding stadiums for people who have billions of dollars.
Yes. And I will say we 100% buried the lead here because what Ron just trying to say, that Chris Ronji is 100% on board in agreement with Missouri State Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman.
I am in agreement with Mary Elizabeth Coleman.
They normally aren't in agreement.
Yes.
They normally aren't in agreement. So State Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman is an Arnold Republican. She took issue with this idea of the House rushing through what she called special interest money for stadiums. She continued, quote, "I don't know anybody who goes to the Missouri Senate or the Missouri legislature to pass special interest money for billionaires, but that's what we're being asked to do here." And basically, the state Senate is frustrated that the House approved this funding just days after it refused to allow a vote on a $500 million spending bill. And that spending bill would have funded projects for health care, education, and law enforcement. And they're saying, so wait a minute. You don't want to take the time to work out that spending bill, but go ahead and rush through the stadium money?
Yep.
And so that is why Ronji and Mary Elizabeth Coleman are skipping hand in hand through the anti-billionaire park.
We had a good long hug, the two of us.
This is like when Cori Bush and Josh Hawley were working together on the radioactive waste at Coldwater Creek.
Yeah.
And the Westlake landfill.
See, we can find common ground. I totally agree with this. What also I think is interesting here, and maybe we discussed this months ago when the Kansas, there was a measure on the ballot in KC for this about funding. One of the people who was against it and led the charge against and campaigned against it was Frank White, who is a Kansas City Royals Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Like, this is somebody who played for the team and he was still saying, no, this is not good for the taxpayer. We're not going to do this, and you should not vote for it. And the people there did not vote for it because, for the most part, the average citizen does not want to pay for a stadium. And I don't blame them. But stadiums, teams, they know that if they threaten to move, that they could get people riled up enough to say, oh, okay, well, then whatever you want to do. That may have worked more 20 or 30 or 40 years ago. I don't think that works anymore.
Yeah, and here's the thing, Ronch, because I agree. So here's the deal. The plan that was a little sketchy on the details that passed through the House, it says the Missouri, the state, would help pay up to half the cost of a new stadium for the Royals and a refurbished Arrowhead Stadium for the Chiefs, though we're not really totally sure what the overall cost of the plan would be. Now, Representative Chris Brown, a Republican out of Kansas City, said, well, the amount of money would be the exact same funding Missouri would lose out on if the teams moved to Kansas. And I think what's so frustrating about this is this whole idea of generating loyalty and love from the people in the city in which your team resides. You're the St. Louis Cardinals, you're the Kansas City Chiefs, and you're a team owner and you say, listen, I'm going to invest in this community because I love this community. You have a team. And then the community gives back. The community buys tickets. It buys jerseys. It has generational love for a franchise. It supports that franchise and it gets really hooked into it and it becomes a part of the identity of the city. And right when it becomes a part of the identity of the city, the billionaires say, now, we need more money or we're going to move to somewhere that will appreciate us more. Let me tell you this, I am pro billionaire. I love America. I love the American dream. Get as rich
Who
as possible.
Pro billionaire.
I am because it's the American dream. Okay. Be fine. Like create
it's
Walmart.
It's the American dream.
Yeah, create
like
Walmart.
Five people get that.
But I bring this up because with owners, let me just tell you this. They are not owning these teams as charitable organizations. This is not altruism on this part to own these teams. They're making an enormous amount of money, and it's a little offensive that then they throw it at the fans' faces, like, give us more money or we're going to go somewhere where they love us more. No, you're doing just fine with this team. You're making a lot of money.
You are so close to having an epiphany. You're so close and you don't even know it. Here's the thing about being a billionaire.
Bill Gates doesn't own a team.
No, he doesn't.
But he is giving away 99% of his wealth over the next 20 years. And yes, I will say that the good and the efficiency of private philanthropic efforts it's done a lot more than a lot of government organizations have done. So if you are a billionaire and then you start investing in the world and the underprivileged like Bill Gates is, I'm all for it.
That's great, but you can't make them do that.
No, but and there are a lot
that's
that
why,
do. That's why I'm not anti-billionaire.
And there are a lot
I'm
that
just
don't.
Not.
So I think the issue for me is this. A lot of times team owners act like owning a team is a real financial risk. And I could be ruined if things go wrong or whatever. Mm-mm. And they want us to feel sorry for them. Let me give you an example. And I'm not saying the Cardinals do this, but this is just an example. The Cardinals were purchased by the ownership group led by Bill DeWitt for $150 million in the mid-90s. Do you know what the team is worth now?
I do.
$2.6 billion. There is not a major professional sports team that is worth less now than when it was bought. So every single one of these people who own teams, and this goes around the country, all of them are making a massive return on investment. It is not the risk they keep telling us it is. They'll never be financially ruined. If it is such a tough deal, sell the team. Sell the team if this is so financially stressful mm-hmm. to you to own a baseball team or own a football team. If you can't afford it, if you're worried about the costs of building a new stadium, sell it then. Sell it, make a profit and go away and let somebody else come in and handle it. But they don't sell because they know they're going to make a ton of money off of it one way or another. They know, for example, Jerry Reinsdorf owns the White Sox and the Bulls. He has been trying for about 2 years now to get funding from the state of Illinois to build a new stadium closer to downtown. It's the South Loop is what it's called. And it's a great space. It would be really cool to have a stadium built there. But that would cost the entire state of Illinois tax money in order to do it if they get money from the state, obviously. And J.B. Pritzker has said, nah, no appetite for it. And that's to his credit. And I agree with him.
That's because he's a billionaire and he gets it.
He's
a billionaire. And J.B. Pritzker's like, I know what you're doing here, buddy. I'm also a billionaire.
Right. So fine. But even if he wasn't, I think if he made $100,000, he would probably say the same thing.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And he says, we're not giving you $2 billion for a new stadium project. Fund it yourself. Look what happened with our soccer stadium. Remember how there was this effort to get a measure on the ballot, and it did, and people either had to vote for it or not for a tax incentive to build the stadium, and people here voted it down. Well, guess what happened? The ownership group got together with private investors, and they built it themselves. So it can be done. And I realize that's
maybe
not a baseball stadium.
Maybe you just
need
stadium. Female owners.
Maybe. Maybe need an all-female.
Some female owners of an NFL team because they'll get it.
Well, and they got it done. They got it done. They privately funded that stadium. And it can be done. It's just that why do that when you can get money from the taxpayer?
And listen, I get it. Like, oh, well, they're business people. They're trying to... Fine. Okay, get a good deal. But here's what I don't want. Is asking for an offensive amount of money from the taxpayers and throwing it in the taxpayers' faces as if you don't care about the team enough and we're moving somewhere that will appreciate it. To me, that's insulting.
It's
disingenuous. And no, you're not going to stomach it.
It's like what the Reds team president said. It was either last year or the year before when he was asked about this, Phil Castellini. And I think people were upset with the team, and he's doing an interview, and he says, basically, Cincinnati is lucky to have us.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Ron.
That is absolutely not the attitude you ever take if you're an owner of a baseball team or a football team in a city. Never.
Maybe Jerry Reinsdorf is about to get his comeuppance.
How?
Maybe there'll be divine intervention telling him to act better.
Oh, the Pope?
And treat the people better.
Well, I think the divine intervention might come from somewhere else. You know how bad of an owner you have to be when all your fans wish you would die? I'm not making a joke. They literally wish he would die and go away so they could start over.
Well, that's their only hope, right?
Yes, because he sucks as an owner. He is so bad as an owner.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series. where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.